nothing on the overhead today because you've got it in your notes. I'd like to think that the mission series, is an encouragement. It's not meant to make us feel guilty for what we're not doing, but to encourage us in what we are doing, and also to help us then to maybe have our minds stretched as to, well, maybe I could be involved in that, or maybe I could do this or do the other. Now, we all know, I think, that little section of scripture, and I feel like a bit of a cheat in a way, because that section of scripture from Luke chapter 4, we looked at a few weeks ago before we knew what Australian Baptist Mission was going to put out as one of their themes. So we had a look at that, and when I came to prepare again, I thought, oh, this is a bit of a cheat because, yes, I think we've done it before. But I did want to remind us and remind myself that we're in an interesting situation. We're in the situation of Jesus having been baptized and being told from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." "These are my beloved children," God says, "sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased," each one of us. Then Jesus is led again by the Spirit, into the place of temptation. The children of God have known temptation and, following Jesus, victory. So we've become children of God, just like Jesus. We have been tempted like him. And now that's our preparation to tell the world about Jesus, because that's what he did. He then went out and told the world. This is all in this little section of scripture. And so he goes out to preach. Friends, simply want to say, this is us. When we're talking about mission, we have the affirmation from God that we're his children. We have the assurance, not only of forgiveness, but of victory. And so we go into the world to share that same wonderful message to the people, well, not only those who will listen, but to everyone, because there are a number who, of course, won't listen. Now, I want to read to you from a Bible, and I'm going to mention this again a little bit later, but it's a Bible that's been produced in plain English version. It's been produced basically for our Indigenous or Aboriginal or First Nation friends, and for those of you who support groups like Wycliffe or the Bible Society, which is part of our mission support corporately, this is what has been produced, given to us very kindly by a friend. And so this is the story of Jesus. Chapter 4, Luke, this is how it's written in this Bible. "The Holy Spirit made Jesus very powerful, and he went back to Galilee country. The people that saw him kept on telling other people about him, and those people told more people, so that soon everyone there heard the good news about him. He went to the Jewish meeting house every week, and he taught everyone about God, and they were really happy with him. Then Jesus went to his own town called Nazareth. That was the town he grew up in. He went to the Jewish meeting house there on Saturday, like he always did, and he stood up to read to the people from God's book. A helper there gave him the part that Isaiah wrote. Isaiah was a man that told everyone God's message a long time ago. Jesus opened the book to the right place, and he read these words: 'God's Spirit came into me. He picked me to tell good news to poor people. He sent me to tell prisoners, you will go free. He sent me to tell blind people, you will see. And he sent me to people that are in big trouble to take their trouble away. He sent me to tell everybody, this is the time now for God to be good to you. Then Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the helper there and sat down. Everybody kept looking straight at Jesus. That's straightforward language for people to understand. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how it's written here. You see, God loved all the people in the world. He loved everyone so much that he sent them his only Son, his special Son. God sent him to die instead of them, so that if anyone trusts him, God will not finish them up, but they will live with him forever. So if you believe in God, you won't be finished up, but you'll live with him forever. So I want to show you a little bit more from that. As our part in the mission to the world. So, friends, you've got your little bits and pieces there in that restoring. The first thing that I want to say is that why do we need to restore the world? Because we've walked away from God, very simply. We walked away, we did our own thing, we said our own thing, and we've destroyed the world. So some people would say we've done that because the situation with the climate, the way we've just been happy to, and I'm still astounded to see people in shopping centres tearing off reams of plastic bags. And then they put one capsicum in a plastic bag, or one apple. What? It's going to take a million years for those bags to dissolve. What are we doing in destroying the world? Haven't we got a brain to think with? And to do something to restore and to keep instead of damaging. Grab some of those net bags. Hey, Joyce, some of those net bags and use them. Well, if you're following in your little booklet, the first thing, or the first situation, or the first point that is made there is restoring through proclamation and demonstration. Restoring through proclamation and demonstration. A whole person. Jesus records and proclaims his mission, which is not just words, but about actions. And I've got down there, release to the prisoners. Now last week, as Dion mentioned, you had someone from Prison Fellowship, terrific. But I want to ask now, and I want a bit of interaction, who would we see as prisoners today in our society who need to be released? Now don't look down, look up, please. Stuck at people who are stuck on their phone. Right, they need to be released. And so do some of their children. Yes. Who else? People with addictions need to be released from that trap. Right, and if you've read the weekend magazine in the Australian this weekend, there's a whole new addiction that people have had minds taken over. And control there. Right. Well, when I wrote and thought about that, I thought people in loneliness. They're saying that that is one of the biggest situations in society today, that people are lonely. People are trapped in loneliness. So, friends, Are we not the people who can release people from loneliness? Isn't the church a place that can release people from loneliness? I think of some of the things that we already have in operation here. We have Brighton Light. Now, some of the ladies, as I walk around and talk to them, say to me, Colin, you know, we don't get anything done. One of the ladies that we know who goes to another group, she said, Colin, I talk for 2 hours and I do one stitch of knitting, but I go for the company. I go to get out. I think that's true. Brad, would you think of Saturday night here with Solid Rock? For some people, those two Saturday nights are just their release from being stuck in their situation. Some people need to be released, don't they, from being trapped in the work situation. I want to ask, friends, are we helping people who we know who are trapped? Yep, fine, prison. Helen, one of Helen's aunties, they were fortunate, they had a bit of a farm, but she read or understood that the Bible said to care for prisoners. And she used to write for prisoners. She was a great letter writer. But then when the prisoner came out, they would often employ that person on their farm. So there are lots of creative ways that we can think of releasing prisoners or just helping people in this way. And we need to have our eyes wide open. One of the interesting things is that over the road from us, we've had a lady move in about a year ago. She's a fraction younger than us, but she's moved in there. She was a professional lady. And she said, oh, I'm going to have, when you get back from holidays, we've just been on a couple of weeks away, when you get back, I'm going to have an afternoon tea to invite a few neighbours. So, oh, that's a great idea, Heather. So, of course, when we got back this week, over comes an invitation for an afternoon tea this afternoon. Lovely. Except I'm supposed to be at a Solid Rock meeting this afternoon. So I have to say to Heather, look, I'm sorry, Heather, we can't come to your afternoon tea, although you've waited for us to come back from holidays. We can't come to the afternoon tea. We're doing a series in the church on missions, you know, reaching people for Jesus, and we can't come, so I've got to get... Now, what a stupid thing if I had said that. Very kindly, Brad's changed the date of the meeting, so we'll be at the afternoon tea. But when a neighbour does something like that to get to know people, hey, friends, we're in the church, haven't we got a great... I don't mean have an afternoon tea and preach. But I mean maybe an afternoon tea or a morning tea or a lunch, just with a few people to say, hi, I'm new in the area, or it's lovely to have you in my home, or whatever. We've got to start somewhere. We've got to start somewhere if we've got the message for the world. If we really want people released. One of my friends in Victoria, he's a Baptist minister, and he's often has a creative idea, and he was visiting someone in a nursing home one day and got talking to the CEO of the nursing home and said to them, how many of these people don't have visitors? And she said, oh, quite a few. So he went away and he thought, there's a program in schools where if kids are struggling a bit, there's a link up with an adult once a week to go and just be with that child and just befriend them and just sit with them and help them if there's any need. So he thought, why can't that happen with oldies? Why can't that happen in the nursing home? So he went back to the CEO and said, look, I've got some people in the church who are happy to be trained to come each week and just sit with some of these people who never have a visitor. Not to convert them, but just to come and befriend them. Where it leads, okay. And so that now, he has 8 people who go each week into that nursing home in Lilydale in Victoria and just sits, befriends, talks to those people. A release from loneliness. Friends, when we read this, these words, how do we understand them? Someone has said, the church talks in poetry, but the rest of the world talks in prose. Oh, we talk in flowery language. But the world doesn't talk in that language. I mean, I know people like poetry, but you know what I mean? But actually, the world's talking in reality. And I think that's what the world needs to hear from us, some reality. This is Jesus, and he has come with a holistic ministry, not just to save a soul and get a person in church, but to help you be released from loneliness and to bring sight, spiritual sight, and to help people with health. That's why we're involved in mission with health mission. It's why we're involved in giving out food at Westcare. It's why we're providing food there. So friends, we need to think, how can I get involved? Now again, I want to say, I'm not talking here guilty. I'm just talking at whatever level we can cope, let's do it. Let's do it because we're part of the mission of Jesus. Baptised, yes. You are my children, yes. You've been tempted, yes. So please go and tell the world about me. This is Jesus. So, friends, personal engagement with people. How do we do this? Well, you would know, if you know any little bit about me, that I'm hopeless with anything IT. I can pick up a phone and I can send an email. But I am sad when I see people walking along our street, pushing a pusher, holding a dog, kid in the pram with a pad, mum on the phone. And I think, how do we reach those people? How does the church reach those people? Yesterday I was in the hospital for a few hours with an Indigenous bloke from Alice Springs who's quite sick. And he asked me to pray with him, and that was lovely. Then last night, after Solid Rock, we had the footy on. Yes, I'm a Tiger supporter and I know we were beaten. But here are 80,000 people sitting at the MCG watching the football. And I'm thinking, who is more important to God? That one Indigenous man in the Adelaide hospital, or these 80,000 watching the footy, or more than that? Friends, how do we reach those people? Because Jesus didn't die just for the one Indigenous man, but he died for the whole group at the footy. Well, I think the only way that we're going to reach those people is one by one. So many of those people there obviously know Christian people. And so maybe we just need to think, who am I thinking about? And I hope that on the back of our newsletter, I've been putting in each week, people from the cards that you filled out a couple of weeks ago. And I've just been putting a number of people there every so often. I would like to think that you're serious about praying for those people. Because don't tell me you're interested in people becoming Christians if you're not praying for those people. These are the people who we as a community are concerned about. And I'll start jumbling them up and some names will be reappearing. We have to have something useful on the back of the newsletter that helps us in our prayer. And if we've got names, we need to be praying. Some of you will be saying, oh, I'm too old to do this. You're not too old to pray. None of us is too old to pray. And if we've got the names of people, we need to believe God is going to do something. We need to grasp that. We have that resource. So, friends, please. Now, 2 or 3 years ago, we had little cards and we put different coloured dots on those cards representing different groups or different people. I don't know if you've still got yours, but I've still got mine. And I don't know if you're still praying for the people on that little card. But I know that the neighbours next door, when Helen cooks dinner and I do the dishes and I'm looking out the window to the neighbours next door, that is who I am praying for, particularly for Jason's mother, Aileen. Now, I don't know what's happening in her life. I have never actually met the woman. I've only met her through the stories that Jason, our neighbours, told me. And I said I would pray for her and he was a bit blown over. So I've kept doing that. So please, friends, please, 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 let's keep praying for these people who are on our heart and who are part of our community on our combined heart. So personal engagement, yes. Prayer cards, yes. The other thing, I'm not sure that we realise sometimes that the church is a healing community and a welcoming community. It's not all that long ago that someone told me that they went to a different church and the person who greeted them on the door realised that they were a visitor and said, "Oh, I'll come in and sit with you in church." And they said, "That was wonderful. I didn't know anyone in church, but the person on the door came and sat next to me." Friends, we need to keep our eyes open, don't we, for anyone who's a visitor? Now, for the church, yes, but they might be a visitor to the elderly citizens, they might be a visitor to Probus, they might be a... We can befriend them. Hey, isn't that the idea? Jesus befriended people. We befriend people. Who knows where that will lead? But we need to make sure that we're part of that community. Now, I said I didn't want to make people feel guilty. But please, and I'm in the same position. I mean, I live in a neighbourhood. I'm looking at the footy and thinking, how on earth are those people reached for Jesus? And did Jesus only die for those of us who are here in the church? No. Some of you would have an interest in something like this, and some of you, I'm sure, are supporters of Wycliffe or Summer Institute of Linguistics, Bible translators. Some of you are supporters of Bible Society. And they've put together this book, which is amazing. I think it's amazing, with some of the history of God's people. And then they've also put down how you can read or listen to the Word of God. It does amaze me that the little bit that we've had to do with our Indigenous friends up around Alice, that you might go out to a town camp and there might be people living in buildings that we would think this is not fit. But they've got a telly, they've all got a phone, they've got iPad, who knows what else they've got. It's amazing. But here are the ways that a person who gets one of these or even just gets that page can get the Word of God. So, friends, some people have some spare cash. Some of you might feel you can't do anything, but actually, yes, you can, as part of mission. You could give to a group, any group that we've heard today, or a group like this, so that the Word of God goes to people, because it's the Word of God, as we know from our friend Broden, that is going to bring around a conversion. So, how can we do it? Well, we can do it individually. We need to bring release to people. We need to bring sight about who God is. We need to bring release from sin and captivity, or however we want to put it. But let's not talk in flowery language, let's talk in reality. And let's get beside people and not be scared. Not be scared. I think sometimes we're frightened. Have I really got a message to tell? Yes, we've got the best message in the world. And we need to be able to share it. Let's pray together. Father, there's times when we think we're on the back foot. When we're perhaps... we're a bit scared to share about Jesus. I can be in that position. Father, thank you that we have the best message to share. Help us to do it with wisdom, with grace, with love, but at the same time without fear. Help us to pray diligently for those people on the back of our newsletter. Help us to pray for those people we love. Help us to realise that it's not up to us, but your Spirit is working flat out to bring people to Jesus. Lord, we want people restored in relationship. We don't want people lonely, sad. We don't want people disoriented. We don't want people living in sin. We don't want people captive. Lord, we want people released, and we want to be part of that. For some of us, it's talking. For some of us, it's giving. For all of us, it can be praying. So our God, our concern is that people are restored into a right relationship with you, the living God. So Lord, open our eyes, because some of us are a bit blind. Father, open our eyes that we might see people as you see them and reach out to them. For we pray this, that the name of Jesus would bring freedom, liberty, hope, and wholeness. We ask it through Jesus. Amen.